What's up, everybody? This is your girl, Drain Mob. You can catch me on the gram at 305 underscore brownie. Welcome to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine. Shout out to LMG underscore Willie, William, our
co-host. Shout out to Will, our ghostly co-host.
I was like, I don't see
him. I mean, Will is always with us, but he's not with us. Yes, he's alive. But shout out to Will. He's a great friend and one of the greatest photographers we worked with. If you want to follow Will on Instagram, it is at LMG underscore Willie with two L's and a Y. And yeah, right? You like that? Willy Wonka. For that ass. So real quick, thank you for tuning in. This is George of 305 Magazine, at 305 Magazine on everything social media. I'm about to start using Twitter more often, thanks to my good friend here. And for those of you that love food, not because you have to survive on it, but because it is a kink, a fetish, more than just food. I have one of my favorite foodies here in the studio. His name is Eddie Zamora, the Yum Yum Foodie.
Wow. Welcome, welcome.
So when I'm used to Miami people, I just, tú eres Yum Yum.
Yum Yum.
Yum Yum. Yum Yum, ¿verdad, guys?
Love your shirt, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I got to represent always.
I mean, for those of you that are tuning in, you could go on to Instagram at 305 Radio. I'm going to put a picture of Eddie right now. This handsome guy here. And we're just gonna have fun today, man. We're just gonna hear talk the shit. Hey Drea, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you. Welcome back.
We haven't been on air for a while. I'm sorry. It's my fault. But it's okay. Life's like that. So
But George has been talking about this interview for quite some time now. He's been very excited to bring you in. So thank you so much for joining us.
All right on. We go way back.
Hell yeah.
Tell us about who you are and what it is you do.
Oh man. So my name is Eddie Zamora. I was born and raised here in Miami, Florida. Parents came from Cuba in the 1960s. First generation son of Cuban exiles. And what I like to say I do now is I take the suck out of things. So whatever restaurant you're gonna go to, whatever place you wanna travel to, who am I to judge if your dream is to travel to, I don't know, Cedar Point in Ohio, let's say. It's not my dream, but maybe that's your dream. So I'm going to go to Cedar Point, and I'm going to take the suck out of it. I'm going to show you only the dopest things that there are to do there, if that is your dream. You know, that's the way that I kind of present what I do. That's my elevator pitch, as they say.
Okay.
You're in the elevator.
You got
11
me.
Seconds. What you got? What you got?
So what exactly inspired you to do this? Like, when did you know that this was going to be your calling and what you were going to do?
Oh, man. I don't know the exact catalyst per se. I remember when I became really interested in food was a friend of mine who was studying in Spain. And I had the opportunity to fly and hang out with him and essentially stay with him in Spain. And this one dinner that we went to in Barcelona, it was like a parrillada, like, you know, langosta and
all this stuff.
And we're sitting, and I remember eating, and I was like, I had this really good wine, and I had never experienced that before. And also, at that time, I couldn't afford much, but in Spain, it was very inexpensive. The dollar was better than the euro at that time, let's just say it was a minute ago. And that was probably the moment that, like, I was like, wow, I want to start eating at different places, whatever that was. I was an actor. First and foremost, when I left high school, I studied theater in high school, and I studied some theater in college, and social media came into my life in an interesting place where I was acting and I was working all over the place. I lived many lives. It's like I have to sit there and figure out the timeline of what I was doing, because people always ask me, how'd you start to get into what you do? I knew social media had some kind of power, but I didn't know how that worked. And I had my own personal Twitter account page. You know, before the Yum Yum Foodie ever existed, I still have Eddie Zamora, one of the rare people that has your name, like my name, on Twitter. And I was working an event for a car company, because that's how I started traveling all over the world, was I was a representative for a car company. And I would work auto shows, and I would work automotive events all over the United States and sometimes the world. I got to go to Japan, man, because of it. And I was working this event in fancy Aspen, Colorado. You know, Cuban guy in the middle of February, I believe, or March in Aspen, freezing my butt
freezing.
Off. Freezing my butt off. They've given me like this North Face jacket, and God knows
not
what
doing
I look
anything.
Like. I probably look like a tick, like ready to explode. And I'm standing in this plaza, and we're trying to get people to drive in these cars, to ride in these cars. And I'm like, I'm bored out of my mind. I'm there with like some stupid iPad, freezing my ass off, trying to get people to drive cars. And in this weather, some comamieta walks up or rides up in his bike. Mind you,
it's still like, Miami, by the way.
It's like 15 degrees outside. And I see this dude probably about 100 feet away from me, and he starts macking to these girls. And it's freezing outside, and he's wearing like full cycling gear. Full cycling gear. Like, you know, camel toe penis thing and the tight pants. And like, you know what I'm talking about. And it's like 20, it's like 15 degrees outside. I'm like, what is this guy doing? This guy thinks he's Lance Armstrong, like trying to mack to these chicks. So it was Lance Armstrong. He turns around. It was Lance Armstrong. This was before his controversy. And I was like, holy shit. So as a joke, I get on my Twitter. And I'm like, oh yeah, Lance Armstrong. At Lance Armstrong is training really hard in Aspen. I put my phone away.
Nice.
An hour goes by, I hear a beep. He responded to me. He had over 3 million followers. Everybody and their mother who followed Lance Armstrong was asking me what kind of bike he was riding, what shoes did he wear, where was he in Aspen, like what was going on.
Wow.
He was like the biggest cycling celebrity in the world. And something sprung in me. And I said, there's something very impactful and powerful about this social media world. I don't know what it is yet, but I have to kind of let that fester, because this is gonna change the world.
This is something.
This is something. I don't know what it is, but this is something.
It was something.
And then 3 years later, the idea of the Yum Yum Foodie came about, because I use yummy and yum as a way to describe anything. Like, oh man, this phone, this is sick, this is yummy. You know what I mean? Like, that Corvette is yummy.
Where did that come from?
I mean, it could have been referring to a pretty girl. It could have been like, it was just something like like
we say tropical.
Just one of those words and a part of my lexicon. And that's where I came up. And then somebody already had Yum Yum Foodie, so I said, shit, let me put the in front of it. And lo and behold, that was 2011, and here I am. And it was a long-winded story, but that's like the gist of it, and many crazy things in between.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What's been one of your favorite Yum Yum Foodie moments?
Oh man, because of the I remember the first time that somebody wanted to hire me to promote something, mm-hmm. and it blew me away. Because thankfully I have integrity and I say no to a lot of products, but I have the luxury of saying no. I have the freedom of saying no. At the end of the day, you got to make money and you got to put food on the table. But a brand that I wanted to interact with me engaged me. And I was like, wow, this is cool. I was able to, in some way, shape, or form, know that if this, then that. That's the way that I would look at anything in social media. It was like, if I do this, that'll happen. If you build the audience, mm-hmm. and you're already somebody who works in television, maybe they'll start hiring you to do videos. If you're good on these videos, or at least manageable in these videos, perhaps then from there, you'll be able to yield another result. My goal was always to have some kind of travel show or food travel show that had compelling content. Because, you know, I'm tired of watching people cook on TV. I like the idea of compelling, interesting and engaging content that inspires people. You know, if you're that one person that is sitting at home and has never traveled or has been afraid to travel, I like the idea that maybe, just maybe, my picture of Ostuni, Italy, that sunset, and looking at that village will inspire you to purchase the ticket to go there, to be courageous and to do that. Which I find that, like, growing up in Miami, the idea of traveling to Europe for most people when I was a kid was going to Epcot.
Yep.
That was it. That's all we could afford, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny that people who would flee a country because of either economics or political refuge or whatnot are then so afraid to leave Miami. I find that to be fascinating. And
damn, now that you point that out.
People are so freaking scared to leave here. And I think the best thing I ever did, and I love Miami. Like, I rep Miami wherever I go. I still have the same phone number I had in 1999 when I got my phone.
Right?
Absolutely.
It is a 305 number.
It's a 305 number, and it'll never go away. But at the same time, moving away from here has given me perspective, and I think has made me love Miami more, but then also call Miami out when it's not doing it right. I'm
so
not complacent
back?
With Miami. I don't know if I can live here, per se. I love where I live right now, and I've built my life there. So it's definitely a challenge for me to say coming back. I come back all the time. But I'm like, I can't even do this humidity anymore.
Oh,
and
man.
The fact that, like, where I live now, football starts at 10 in the morning.
What?
And baseball starts at 4 p.m. because I don't give a crap about the Dodgers. I don't care about any LA team. So all of my teams play at 4 o'clock or at 10 in the morning. It's the greatest thing ever. Like, I have a life. It's like game over at 7 p.m. I'm like, dale, what's up?
When was the last time you heard anyone say that about football? I don't watch football at 10 in the morning.
I know. When they're in Europe, the games start at 6 in the morning for me when they play in London.
I need to go to LA, man.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Bro, I love it. Like, it's for real. Like, I get up
the perfect
times. I'm drinking coffee and my day is not destroyed because by 1 o'clock the Dolphins already lost and then I can go about my day in
come
depression.
On it.
In pure depression.
Talking about that.
Yeah.
Tell me what a typical day like is for you.
A typical day, it's really interesting in the sense where I had to become okay with not having the standard 9 to 5, and I'm not built for that. I'm definitely more of a mover and shaker. And the standard 9 to 5 does not work for me. I understand it, does not work for me. A standard day of me when I'm working could be several different things, whether I'm hired by a board of, let's say, tourism, and I'm going to visit like some place in the world, and I will have some kind of itinerary, and based on that itinerary, I will generate organic content that I find that people that engage me will find interesting, whatever that is to me. Because at the end of the day, I'm like, if you don't like it, that's all good. But this is what I like, and that's why I'm sharing it. Because I'm not I don't bullshit people. I go to sleep at night knowing that I don't lie to people, and that's like, that means a lot to me. My parents were not about that.
Do you cook?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I like cooking. I'm not a chef per se. I'm not a trained cook, so I have too much respect for people that have been in a kitchen sweating and dealing with like fryers coming at them.
Shout out
so
to George.
So I'm not a chef. I'm a home cook, and I enjoy cooking, and I like to demystify that for people, because I think sometimes people get intimidated. They're like, oh my God, a chef, I can never do that.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm not here to make Thomas Keller's 5-day recipe of a sauce for the French Laundry. That's not what I'm here to do. But if I can do it and I can make a good quality meal for myself and maybe kind of inspire people to do the same, why not, man?
Yeah.
It's another way to be creative. See, it's another way to be creative.
But if you do know that recipe for the 5-day sauce for... Yeah, you're going to have to share that.
It's in his book, I think. It's in the French Laundry book.
Either that or you're going to have to make
it. I'm
just way
too lazy. 5 days, come on.
You're going to make it, man. Come on. You know, food tastes better when someone else makes it.
It always does. Tell me about it, bro.
Que vida más dura.
I know, man. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I never take a day for granted.
I mean... You know, we're all fans of your stream. We're all fans of the Yum Yum Foodie. Everywhere you've gone has been the envy of everyone.
I'll.
But, what's up with the duck faces?
Yeah, please
tell us what happened. What brought duck faces on?
So, well, especially living in Miami, I'm sure you've seen your share of duck faces.
Oh, we do it all the time.
It came from a particular couple that I know, boy and girl, who really seemed to love themselves. And every photo they would ever share online was always them making this kind of a face. And I said to myself, me being the way that I am, I was like, how can I passive-aggressively make fun of them? And make fun of every other person that does that. And just maybe stop somebody from doing that. Because I think it's the dumbest shit ever. So obviously I had to make it food related. And in my head, I was like, okay, I talk about food when I travel. It's got to be food related. Yeah. And I wanted it to be something that everybody could do. In other words, not to alienate people. So I could have done booze, but, you know, not everybody's old enough to drink. Not everybody drinks. Coffee is approachable and tea for anybody. You know, for the most part, you could live in the poorest part or you could live in the richest part in the world. Chances are you drink some shape or form of a warm beverage in the morning. And that was my shtick. And I picked the most... long hashtag in the world, because to me the longer the hashtag the funnier. So that's where douchey duck lips coffee selfie comes from.
Nice.
And then people send me theirs and they tag them, and I like to, my favorite thing is on Monday, like, looking through my Instagram and seeing people that tag me in their duck lips pictures and then sharing them, because I love it, because they get it. You know, if you can make fun of something like that, you can make fun of yourself. I think people feel more comfortable.
So now you know. Make douchey duck face.
Douchey duck lips coffee selfie all day, baby.
And send them to the Yum Yum Foodie
all day. Send them to me, dude. I love them. I'll tag you in them. I'll put them up in my story. It's great, man. It makes my day.
I got a few, George. I'm going to have to slide
through
this
way.
Coffee,
guys.
Do it. Listen. It's a wrap. I'm going to start sending you videos. I'm sending you pictures of douchey duck faces.
Oh, with the best coladas.
Oh, and all you have to do is look through Instagram. Look at any Instagram model. And it's always some duckless. It's always some ridiculous duckless. And if one of those girls sees my picture, and for a second doubts themselves from taking yours. I have done my job.
Tell you this much, I'll never take a picture like that ever.
I'm taking one stat. Yeah. The moment we chill, I'm grabbing coffee.
When you take it with you, you have to feel disgusted with yourself. That's when you know you've taken the right photo, when you feel vile. Then you did it. Yeah. Bring out your inner Kanye or whatever the hell and make yourself
feel disgusted. Hope you guys are taking notes out there.
All right, so let me go ahead and let the world know we'll be back on this real quick. So we're here live with the Yum Yum Foodie
Team Dale.
Dale con Dale.
Dale.
I send that to people all the time, and I'm always imagining like these gringos and they're like, "Who's Dale? Is Dale Earnhardt? Does he like NASCAR? Is he
around? Do you know him?"
Well, I love that you've been able to preserve your Miami-ness, even though you've been like all over the world and you know you built your life elsewhere. But you still have the Dale and all of the vocabulary.
Always.
So.
Like my production company is Sal Joseta Productions.
Say it loud and proud, Sal Joseta Productions.
That is where I'm from. That is where I'll always be from. You know, dad still lives in the same house. That is my hood.
Awesome.
That is my hood, yeah.
That is really good, man. So real quick, let's take a step back, man. So when you start looking at social media and you start seeing individuals like yourself that have created not only an outlet for yourself for the things you're into, then you have to start asking yourself, how the hell did this guy do this? I mean, you kind of touched on it at first, but I mean, like, I want to really dig into how did you go from, I have an idea because I love food, I love drinking, I love wine, I love all this whole culture of it, and then you really want to make something out of it while having to have your 9-to-5.
Yeah.
So let's take me a little bit back.
Okay, absolutely.
And how did you go from I want to do this to damn, this is how I'm doing it?
So to start, I mentioned I was in Colorado working for a car company. Mm-hmm. So I was working in LA doing a play, and which was my favorite thing to do as an actor was do theater, because I really enjoyed the camaraderie, the learning of the dialogue, learning a full script. Like that was really fun for me, but it doesn't pay for shit. But it was really fun for me. And a girl who played my mother in this particular play was like, "So you're bilingual?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Did you ever want to do car shows?" I'm like, "What the hell is a car show?" I went to the auto show when I was a kid, but I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, you know, I worked for Lexus, and Lexus was hiring guys who are bilingual." I'm like, "All right, cool." Long story short, I get the job, and I'm traveling all over the United States doing auto shows, and that's how I learned how to public speak. That's how I learned to listen to people. That's how I learned to engage people. So I didn't realize that it was my honing ground. And I was training to do what I do now, to work on camera. I was getting paid to become better at another thing. And that's the way that I would approach it. So when I was tired of going to work, I was like, nope, because I'm actually getting paid to get better. I'm getting paid to build my skills. So let's say my job was from, 9-to-5, I'm making up a number. My job was 9-to-5. At 5:01, I was out doing Yum Yum Foodie. I was out going and talking to the bartenders in the cities that I would go to. I would try to find a speakeasy. I would try to find, it doesn't have to be the most expensive restaurant, but what's going on, what's dope in the city, what's the art scene going on? Because I find that in every city, art, food, they're all kind of connected in some way, shape, or food is art, right? Here, look at Wynwood. What's going on there with the art scene and food in Miami? And then I started with Twitter initially, and then eventually Instagram, and then Facebook. And I would create content based on what I was doing. Like, I really was what I was doing. Never hiding that I had another job. But at the end of the day, this was separate. This was my own thing. And I didn't know how I was going to get from A to B because it was new. It was a new realm. Like, social media is a completely, it's the Wild West. Like, you don't know what the hell's going on.
It's a wild animal.
It's a wild animal. It's a beast. But I knew that I could be good on camera, and I know that that's what I had done for a living because I worked for Mundos as a host for many years, and I was like, it was my gig. It's what I knew how to do. Right. But I didn't have an audience, and I said, well, if you build it, they will come, just like the movie Field of Dreams. So I knew that if I started building an audience and I would work hard and I would engage people, because guys, if you want to build an audience, guess what? Mi cielo, I don't care if you have nice boobs and you take a picture of them. Those guys don't give a shit. If you really want people to engage you, as opposed to you have to comment. You have to engage people, whether it's... Mm-hmm. That's what I love about Twitter, because Twitter feels like a real conversation. regardless of who you're following, who you're engaging, it's not a bot talking to you. It's like, you can tell, right? And I love getting on Twitter and talking to people. I'll post something, people will make fun of it, I come right back, and we have a good time, you know? And I love that. I really love it. It's a beautiful conversation, I think, that you can have. And that's something, I think, that is so beautiful, because I've met people now all over the world because we engage each other on social media. I've met some really beautiful people, whether it's been here, New York, Japan, it's wild. And it's because of this tool.
Yeah, everything has its really pros and its cons, so yeah, that's absolutely great that you've learned how to...
And I can...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Jay. Please don't kill me. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done. Just wanted to come in and cut you off for no reason.
You were just talking about how you were doing your own productions after your job. Were you doing that on your own?
Yeah.
Or did you have a team? How are you doing these productions?
So I realized that part of what I do is people need to know who I am. So that's also part of why the Duck Lives came about. Because I'm not a selfie taker person. I'm not a person who's going to post a bunch of pictures of myself. That's not me. I don't know. There's something douchey about it in itself for me that I don't feel comfortable. Not because I don't like myself. I'm very content in the skin that I live in, but that's not what I wanted the perception to be of me.
Right.
Okay? So I said, man, people need to know who you are. And I said, okay, how can I make it funny? And that's partial, like another reason why I went with Duck Lives. But as far as my content and creating it, when it's video content, depending on the brand that I'm working with, I have to have a budget. I have to hire, I'm a professional, so I hire professional camera crew. I hire audio people. I work as producer. Sometimes my manager will act as producer as well. If I'm, you know, if I'm in front of the camera, sometimes it's more challenging. So it's good to have two sets of eyes.
Right.
I have the luxury of that, but I also don't work as much because I'm very strict as far as the video content that I post. To me, it has to look good. I know that...
It's always been like this, though?
It's always been like this. Yeah. It's always been like this, where sometimes I would work early on. I wouldn't get paid, but I would make sure that the people who created the video and the editing would get paid. So my thing was like, well, at least I'm getting the content. And I felt that it would be good content. And I had that. And it didn't come out of my pocket. That was always my thing. It was like, you know, how can I do this where it doesn't have to come out of my pocket? I don't mind dipping into it. But that's not the way people make money in the real world. You know, it's like you know, when you produce a movie, you don't pay for that movie yourself.
No.
You get people to invest in your film.
Of course.
You know, it's the same kind of concept where I was like, I wanted to get this content. How do I make it happen? Now, obviously, I've been lucky enough to yield results and you know, brands have worked with me.
Right.
And I'm also extremely loyal. So the brands that believed in me when it was 5 years ago and I didn't have the audience I have now, I'm extremely, extremely loyal to those brands.
Love it.
Yeah. I've developed friendships from that they're almost like family to me, where even if I'm not working with them, they're family to me. They believed in me. So I will always engage them. It's just like I'm super loyal with that.
How important is that in today's time?
Loyalty, I think a lot of people don't have it. I think people are so used to just swiping right or swiping left, you know, to use that analogy. And I think that's not the way that it is with brands. When you want to be good at something, when you want to be genuine with people, now if somebody screws you over, then that's a different story. But if somebody's done nothing to wrong you, and you have the opportunity to be loyal, it's just gonna make a more fruitful relationship in life in general. You're gonna enrich your life, and again, you're gonna be able to sleep at night because you know you didn't do anything bad to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I turned 40 in February. I don't have a lot of gray hair. I don't have a lot of stress in my life because you know I want to model. I know you. It's just like that's like my.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Whatever you get good, you know.
Yeah,
especially you know the reason why I asked that is because man, you've been from coast to coast. You've been working on projects left and right.
Yeah.
So it's you know going to, you know, I want people that are working in production that are. Working in the biz, that are you know low-key working on their dreams, just to be able to hear this and know that an individual like yourself, man, you used your job to get to where you're at.
Absolutely, yeah, I didn't dip into my own pocket.
You know,
he utilized.
He utilized everything.
Yeah.
For instance, you utilized your job. So your job took you from point A to point B. While you were there, you went to the best restaurant you could find.
Not only that, I got very lucky too because the brand that I was working for, the same way Nike signs LeBron James, my brand would sign chefs to be Lexus chefs. So I was working at Aspen Food and Wine, which people are paying thousands of dollars to be at. I'm being paid to be there. Oh. And I'm hanging out with Chef Morimoto.
I'm hanging out with
Christina Tosi from Milk Bar. I'm meeting all of these people. And I'm getting paid for it. But but a lot of people do that and choose not to go in that direction.
Are you hiring, by the way?
No. Unfortunately, I cannot afford to hire anybody.
Jared's like, someone needs to carry
your
fork.
Which is so funny, because people have asked to intern and work with me, and I feel guilty where I'm like, I can't, because I don't, if I can't pay you, I don't want you to spend your time. Yeah. Even if you think it's valuable to you, that's fine. I'll sit with you and I'll have a coffee and talk, and that's cool. But as far as like working for me, man, if I can't pay you what you deserve, I don't want to do it.
Thanks a lot, Drea. You're not paying me.
I'm just all about that, man. I honor people's time. That's one thing. As you get older, you realize like the only thing we don't get back is time, right?
Exactly.
Money, everything else comes back to us. Time, nope. So like people follow, I get cheesy about it, but I don't give a shit. It's true. People like engage me online. I go, man, you took the time out of your life to watch my 1 minute video. Thank you. Holy shit. Like, I don't want your money. You took your time. That's more valuable to me than anything else. Because I don't give my time a lot for, like, I'm a pain in the ass to watch TV for people. People are like, oh, you got to watch this show. I'm like, I don't know. I don't give a shit about that show. You know what I mean? It's a lot to get me to do something. So I feel the same way for others, right?
How long did it take George to convince you to come on here?
Not at all. Oh, I told him I wanted to come on.
He told me months ago. Yo.
I was like, yeah, bro, come on. Anytime.
So let me tell you how long this since you want to throw shit, right?
Tell me.
So this works.
Gangsta. See, he's missing it. Like, that's not what I'm talking about my time here. I'm in town. I'm having a good time. I'm not working.
Yo, I'll tell you this.
This does not work for me.
I'm really excited about Eddie. Why? Because we went to high school together.
Yeah.
And he was the first dude I met that actually acted. I was like, legit, yo, I'm trying to be an actor for real. And I was like, this nigga's really trying to be an actor for real? Shit. So then, you know, you see all the work. We've always, oh, yo, this is dope. You're doing good, da-da-da. And then all of a sudden after the show, we shit here on the radio a lot. And I don't know who listens, who doesn't. All I know is I see numbers. I'm like, yo, people from this country, that country, this is dope. That's where we get fun. We have the fun with.
Absolutely.
But then Eddie hits me up. He goes, yo, put me on the show. Come through next Monday. I'm in LA. Oh, nigga, when the fuck you want to come on the show? So then we just kept shooting dates and times. I was like, look, man, whenever you're in Miami, just let me know and it's a wrap. That Monday you're in. The way things worked out, we finally was like, yo, I'm finally going to be there for sure.
Yeah.
So then he finally tells me the date. I'm like, all right, man, so let's do this. I didn't know what to expect because Mr. Yum Yum Foodie is all over the place. So I'm really excited when we finally confirmed and I saw him out here because, man, it's for one, it's great to see people you know do really well.
Yeah,
period. And when we shot the shit outside, bro, it's like nothing.
It's like you guys were still in high school together?
No, not high school. High school was sucked.
Yeah, high school was not fun.
High school was a lot of trouble and it sucked. Yeah. I'm not trying to get back into that. But it was just dope to see that, man, homie has not changed in the sense of your head's on right. Your success has not gotten to your head. Because at the moment, anyone that is successful, if she gets to your head, it's over.
I've that been around people that are like that, and it grosses me out.
Yes,
so it doesn't like I don't know. I don't fit in that world. You also have to be very careful. You have to protect yourself. But you can't be stupid tampoco.
Tampoco.
You know, people try to take advantage of you, of course, and I get that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you have to be a different person ever.
And I'm so glad that earlier he said too that it's not just about looking cute, it's not just about your talent, like there's so much more that goes behind that, whether you're an artist, an entrepreneur, whatever you are. I mean, the work ethic is really the most important part, at least in my opinion.
My line is like, if I got up at 6, I always feel like somebody got up at 5:59 and is working harder than me.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I am. I get up early. I do not sleep a lot. And I'm always trying to figure out how am I going to make something relevant. Where they're like, I'm posting something today. I go, well, shit. Well, how am I going to make this? So somebody might want to check it out. Or how am I going to make it to the next thing? Whether now, I'm working as a judge on a food competition show. And the way that manifested in my life was so out of left field. And when I was an actor, and I guess once an actor, always an actor. So I mean, at the end of the day, that was my craft that I learned, right?
He's acting right
now. But one day, and I was auditioning for this movie called Milk with Sean Penn.
Okay. Okay.
And I can't remember what year that was. It must have been like, you know, 9 or 10. I can't remember when it was, but like, I think Sean Penn got nominated for an Oscar for this movie. And they were looking for the dude that was going to play Sean Penn's boyfriend. And I was auditioning for the film. Anyway. And I was going through this whole process, and, you know, they call you back. And this is how it works, man. They're like, oh, you know, they're not sure. They want to go with an unknown. Okay, cool. 5 or 6 auditions later, you're like, oh, shit, man, I've been coming this often. There's a chance I may actually work in this movie. And then what ends up happening, it goes to a known actor. I think it was Diego Luna. I can't think of what else he's been in. From Mi Tu Mamá También, that guy. And he's a great actor. So it's not like, it's not a hate on him by no means. But I remember looking at it, I go, man, I'm putting all of this into this work, and it's under control of somebody else. And I said, no, man, this yum yum foodie thing, I am the one in control. I have the freedom of saying no, which to me is the greatest freedom in the world. And that's when I got on the phone, and I had a manager and an agent, and I felt like the scene in Half Baked. It's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you,
you're cool,
fuck you, I'm out. That's what it felt like. And it was like this weight was lifted, and I didn't know what I was gonna do, man. I had the job with Lexus. So that was cool, and that was getting me to travel, so I was still, like, making it work. But, man, I didn't know what was next, but it was the best thing I ever did. Even though I loved acting and everything, it taught me so much, but, like, now I'm in control of my own shit. It's great.
That's great, man.
Liberating.
What is your creative process like? Because you seem to be very disciplined and very organized as far as your thought process and how you want to create this content. But is there something that, like, it's a religious kind of, like, ritual? Or is it just very different depending on what mood you're in? Just tell me about your creative process.
I'd say the only thing that happens for sure just about every week is that Douglas picture. That's pretty much the one that, like, I have to post it on Monday. If too much time goes by, and I pick Monday arbitrarily because it makes no sense. Why not? And if, like, too much time in the day goes by, people start bitching at me. They'll send me direct messages. They're like, hey, dude, where's
your picture?
Yeah.
What happened with that duck face?
Anyway, and that's just, like, I try to make it ridiculous. I put, like, weird filters on it. I make it look stupid on purpose, right?
Oh, but it's dope, though.
Every other piece of content, like, for example, I think now with social media and, not with social media, but with Instagram and with Facebook, with these new quote-unquote algorithms that folks are always talking about, I think that you need to start collaborating with people if you're trying to generate and build your audience. So what do I mean? Last piece of video content I have is a cocktail collaboration. So I could have done a video myself where I designed a cocktail and blah, blah, blah. Here I am making the drink and that's the video. Mm-hmm. But I said, no. I pitched to this brand. I said, look, how about I find one of my favorite mixologists in LA and I quote unquote challenge him to make this cocktail kind of like chopped. These are the ingredients. Make it. Let's see what you come up with. And it was a super engaging piece of video. Why? Because we collaborated. He has a very big audience. I have a good sized audience. We put our heads together and this was what came out. And now in my head before, this is what I'm getting at. I said, if I could do a collaboration and it does well, my next collaboration will be 10 times easier. And then so on and so forth. But that's the way that I think. I'm like, all right, if this, then that. If I yield this, if I engage them this way, then that. I can finally get what I really wanted, which was these collaboration videos and people to get that. So I become more of a facilitator instead of just the guy chopping the carrot, which is okay too, but that's not, I don't think that's my biggest strength. I think my strength is facilitating information to people and understanding an audience.
That is the kind of knowledge that we have to charge for. Like, that is, people don't realize that. Like,
he's
that
been
is
dropping the kind gems of, since he got here.
I'm
don't
saying,
stop
this, is a, this is the whole thing. Like, when we were speaking outside, I was talking, like, call me when you meet Gary Vee.
Yeah.
For real, that's serious. Because this is the kind of conversation that normal people wouldn't have, but someone that has a brand, if any of you have a brand, listen to this, rewind this whole podcast, listen to the beginning. Because the gems that you've been spitting out, that you've been dropping all this knowledge, that if someone were to actually apply these little gems that you've unleashed, they'll be successful. Or they'll see more success than they've seen so far.
Be successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it goes hand in hand with what we were talking about earlier. Either you're complacent, because Miami's one of those places where when you get knocked off your ass and you sit on the floor, they're going to be like, all right, you're going to sit here and you're going to think about your problems. Or you're going to get the fuck up and you're going to do something else. Eddie, how many times have you failed?
Dude, I played baseball, right? If I failed 70% of the time in baseball, you make the Hall of Fame. If you hit 300, you make the Hall of Fame. That's failing 70%. I'm barely hitting 100, okay? And I feel that if I die tomorrow, I've done okay. I'm a very lucky person. Considering what my parents went through to get here, I think I have honored them. And that's another thing that's a constant conversation with me, is to honor my parents, to honor the people before you in some way, shape, or form. You know, what did they struggle for me to get here? So that's part of it. That's part of it. And I was telling you earlier about smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so fucking hippie, but it's so, no joke, I played competitive sports, right? So I moved to LA, and I always heard that yoga was a good exercise. So I'm like, cool, I'm going to take a yoga class. I want to check it out. So I had a friend who took a class, and she's like, you know, come take the class and sort it out. And it was a donation class, so I was like, great, because I didn't have a lot of money. But I could afford $10 to donate to this class. So I'm doing this class, and we're learning how to do a headstand, right? And I'm super competitive in the sense where I play baseball. Like, I'm competing with myself.
Yeah.
But I still wanted to do it. And I'm like trying to lift up. My face is all squished up, and I'm sweating. And the yoga guy walks over, this super cool guy, man. This black dude named Derry was his name, and he was dope, such a nice guy. And Derry walks over, and he taps me on my shoulder. And he's like, well, smile. I'm like, what? I'm from Miami, motherfucker. Like, what? Smile?
What? And, you want to fight right here?
And then he goes, if you can't smile while you do it, you shouldn't be doing it.
Nah.
And it stuck with me forever, dude. Like, it no se me quita. Like, if I can't smile while I do something, and if people around me can't smile, peace out. Let's find something else.
You meant to that.
Yeah, right? It was like it stuck with me, bro. That's like,
I love it.
But it's true. It really is, man. Look, I've been miserable on set. I've worked sets where I'm looking around. I'm like, man, if I grab this car and just run everyone over, it'll be over.
George.
No, because some people, look, when you're on set, this is the thing. Everyone wants to shoot a video. Everyone wants to be famous. Everyone wants everything. But then when you get to the set, yeah, it's about you, bro, but it's not all about you. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to realize people are here spending time trying to make your dream come true.
Absolutely.
And then you're gonna hang out and think you're the big dog of the set. Babu, we're here to make your video look good.
Yeah.
I'll run you over.
But you make an interesting point, because people ask me about like working with brands. And I always tell them, I said, my like, they'll ask advice about it. And I'm like, never make it about you. It's not about you. It's about the brand. If you elevate whatever it is that you're doing, if you sincerely feel that way, right, and you genuinely elevate something, you're always going to be elevated.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, Santa has the fucking reindeer, and they pull the sleigh up, but you got to elevate those reindeer for the sleigh to keep going, you know? So it's just like, you have to elevate whatever brand. So whenever I approach one of my clients, I'm like, how am I going to make them, how am I going to show how amazing they are to me, to other people? Mm-hmm. How am I going to do that? And I always come from that approach, like a military strike. Everything is like, I think of it like a military strike, because if you don't do it, you're dead. So how are you going to focus the least amount of peripheral BS to get right on the you know, right in the crosshair of what you need?
Why do we drop these bombs and make them thank us for it?
So this is totally random, but I know my astrologist is listening, and she's probably very curious to know, as I am.
What sign are you?
What sign are you?
Aquarius.
Okay.
Which is so funny.
Call your astrologist right now.
So, one of the worst things I've ever done, which is so funny, I was on a talk show called Chat on Mundo's when it launched, right around when, like a year after it launched. And I produced one of the episodes of this talk show, and it was about astrology. Mm-hmm. And I got this astrology book that was like a birthday book of some kind. And it had, you know, 365 pages, and it had some kind of astrological thing about everybody's birthday. And then we had a whole show about it, people pro it, people that didn't buy it, you know, kind of going back and forth. And I went down the line, and I read everybody their birthday. And we really kind of dissected it. And it was like a great match. Like, you know, your birthday is this, and the page that I read, it was like punto, un punto, right? Mm-hmm. On the end of the show, I divulged that I read the opposite of what everybody's birthday was to them. And everybody wanted to kill me. Everybody wanted to kill me on live television. It was one of the worst but the funniest things I've ever done. And the whole time I'm like, oh my God, I got him so good. I got him so good.
That was the actor in you, huh?
I was such an asshole.
He's like,
oh man.
He says that you're really smart, that you're not really good at making decisions. Bro, you're right.
That's exactly. And inside, I'm like, I'm like my cauldron of TV. I'm like, that's what that show was, man.
Bro, and he's really the yum yum devil.
Which is what it's so different than the show that I work on now.
No, for sure. Know? Well, wait, hold on. Let's get into that. So. The Yum Yum Foodie is now part of a show called
Dinner Takes All.
Dinner Takes All. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this show.
Dinner Takes All is from the creators of a very successful show on Food Network called Chopped.
Really?
Yeah. So the creators of Chopped came up with this show that is a competitive cooking show, but a family show. Mm-hmm. So it's two families go head to head, and they have 100 minutes to cook their family meal, their best Sunday meal, so to speak. And it's like a main course, three sides, and dessert.
Oh, man.
And in the midst of their cooking, there's game show aspects. Mm-hmm. So they could be pulled away from cooking to play a spin-the-wheel trivia kind of game. Mm-hmm. Or they'll be pulled away to do a food game. And they could be in the middle of deep-frying fish. And somebody else has got to take over. And, you know, drama can ensue from that. And then they get points for playing these games. And then at the end, their food is judged by a young lady named Cartier Brown. You may know her from Food Network. She's been a judge on it. She's a Southern chef. Mm-hmm. And then me. I'm the other judge. And then the host of the show is this girl by the name of Kelsey Nixon, who was on Next Food Network Star. Mm-hmm. And she had a show on Cooking Channel for a while. And then that's the show, Dinner Takes All. And so literally, Dinner Takes All. They win a cash prize.
So they got the Yum Yum Foodie next to the chef and the other chef. The established chef and the upcoming chef.
Yeah.
Brother, you're doing good.
Well, they got it. It was awesome, man. It was one of the funnest things I've ever done. And we just, you know, I was shooting in Utah the whole month of September. And it was like a blast. The show comes out, I want to say March 7 or 9, I can't recall. But it's one of the two, March 7 or 9.
Shoot. So we got to stay tuned.
Thank you. Yeah, man.
We have to stay tuned. It's fun. Definitely have to watch this when it comes out.
Today I was at my dad's house trying to set up the Roku for him and trying to set that up for a 75-year-old man. Let's just say, if there's any intern that wants to go to my dad's house
and set up now you're hiring?
The Roku for my dad,
we'll take douchey duck lips shots.
We'll do
together.
A douchey, absolutely.
I know you've been to so many different places, but can we get your favorites, food, wine, and place?
Oof, okay, favorite place is like saying favorite child, but I'll say in my top places that I've been to, like if I was going to live in a city outside of the United States, Barcelona, Spain.
Yes.
Culinarily spectacular. I still haven't been to St. Sebastian, which is like per capita spectacular. Pardon me?
Ebuli.
No, I ate at Dos Palillos in Barcelona, which is the last executive chef of Ebuli.
Yes.
And this Japanese guy who worked at Ebuli, and it's a fusion of Spanish-Japanese food. So Catalan Japanese. It's spectacular. There's a place called Dos Palillos in Barcelona that I love. United States-wise, I love Napa Valley, man. Napa Valley is the equivalent to Disney World for me now. Wow. When I was a kid, going to Disney was like the greatest thing ever. Living in Southern California and going to Napa Valley for me is like the greatest thing in the world. I love that place. It's so beautiful. The wines are really good. It's just like, it's spectacular. It really is.
Okay.
So I think you have a great question, but I think it's way too broad for him. He could ask anyone else, hey, so what's your favorite restaurant? Oh, well, the man eats everywhere. So what would you consider? So you have the holidays coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What would you consider as an incredibly great gift to give someone to send them to a restaurant?
Ooh, a great gift? You mean like a gift card?
Yeah. Not a gift card. Well, if you could pay for their meal.
Okay.
Without a gift card, because the gift card looks kind of weird, you know? Hey,
okay.
Have a gift card to a fancy restaurant.
Oh, man.
If you could take in-laws, if you want to impress someone, let's do this. Let's straighten this. Let's cover the board now. You want to impress someone in Miami or outside of Miami.
Okay.
You want to take them to a fancy restaurant. Where are you going?
Well, I wouldn't always necessarily go fancy, but let's say if I'm in Miami, I would say there's two places that really come to mind that I think are doing some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One is called Ariette in Coconut Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Michael Beltran, which I was talking to you before about Mike. But what I like about his food is that he's a kid from Miami, just like you and I. He studied and worked for Norman Van Aken.
Mm-hmm.
And he does these interesting, you never forget that he's Latin. but it's not a strictly Latin restaurant. You know, he'll make venison, he'll make porchetta, he has a mushroom flan. It's really interesting items, but it, but at the same time, extremely approachable. There's nothing douchey about his restaurant. Mm-hmm. He makes an amazing burger called the Chug Burger. That's like, you know, rated like the top burger in Miami.
Wow.
So it's not just like there's upscale food, but in this beautiful kind of casual environment. And not only that, the people that work there are really educated. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for me too. It's like service. Service is always going to make the food taste better.
Absolutely.
And I will always send people to a place in Miami called La Fresa Francesa in Hialeah, which is a French Cuban restaurant.
Did this man just say in Hialeah?
In Hialeah on Okeechobee.
¿Cómo? ¿Cómo que qué?
Dilo otra vez, dilo otra vez.
La Fresa Francesa, owned by a girl named Sandy from Miami, mm-hmm. and her boyfriend Ben, who's French, mm-hmm. and they met working in Los Angeles for this very, very famous lady named Nancy Silverton. Mm-hmm. There's a, she's like one of the most famous, she's a James Beard award-winning chef, and she owns a restaurant in LA called Osteria Mozza, which is incredible, Italian restaurant. Anyway, they worked there. Mm-hmm. Through circumstances, she had to come back to Miami. And they decided to use his cooking in France and her Cubanness to make a French Cuban restaurant. Oh, so you will go
in Hialeah.
In Hialeah.
In fucking Hialeah, bro.
Yeah, and it's also beautiful for me to see some of the like diehard, like barely speak English Cubanos that work there that are so educated in French wine. And it's kind of cool, man. It really is, because it's like she brought that level of service from working at Osteria Mozza, and even this small little bistro in Hialeah has that level of excellence. And I think, to me, that elevates my hometown. It's Absolutely. Not about like, yo, no, I can't learn about it. It's not about like being fancy or anything like that. No, it's just like people are like open to educating.
Yeah.
And Cubans are super hard-headed people. So to get Cubans to open themselves up to that, because that's all I know, right? I know being Cuban, right? To get Cuban people to open up like that is like, wow, because I'm an open-minded Cuban. It's a rare thing.
Yeah.
anyway, so I love those two places in particular because it's like something you've never had before. I like mm-hmm. knowing that you're going to have something you haven't had before.
Of course, yeah.
That's kind of cool. That's part of the experience of going out to eat. Something you're not going to make at home. Guess what? I'm not making mushroom flan at home.
No.
You know?
No.
I've never even heard of mushroom flan.
I mean, that just sounds like a mission.
They make, but then at La Fresa, one of their appetizers is a batalito guayaba from Becky Bakery. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But it's got the guava jam from I think a place called Pastel Guayaba in Homestead.
I know exactly.
And then inside of that is a good-sized piece of seared foie gras, open face, with crushed pistachios. It is spectacular.
Oh my God. I love foie gras.
Me
I love
too.
Pasalitos.
And it's the most expensive appetizer. It's like $18, but
oh,
still at the
so
end of the day,
$18
for a chunk of
Super
foie gras like
worth
that
it.
Is outstanding. Anyway, let's not animal rights aside. Let's just talk about flavor wise, you know, with foie gras. So
listen, man, if eating
I
people was
that,
delicious,
man.
We'd be eating people.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
done.
Fair enough.
But foie gras is so good.
I love it, dude. Anyway, so yeah, thank you for asking, but those are probably the two in Miami that I would be like, yes.
I'm going to have to go to Hialeah.
Dude,
I have to have
it's right up Lejeune and right up Okeechobee.
La Fresa.
La Fresa, the French strawberry.
La Fresa Francesa. Dios mío.
Yeah. It's so good. Like, for real. It's so good. Like, I send people there all the time, and they come back, they're like, bro, I'm like, I had Coco Van in Hialeah.
Oh, my God. I'm just thinking fine dining in Hialeah is so good.
Yeah, and you've, like, you know, like, duck confit in Hialeah.
I was so not expecting
like,
that answer from you.
Expect the unexpected from me.
Love it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, all right, so that's... here, right? So what others... Oh, we gotta start route. Oh, damn it.
¿Qué pasó?
So 1 hour has gone by
shit,
so
man.
Fast.
Gotta wrap it
shit.
Up.
We don't teach people talk a lot, man. Sorry.
Man,
we're
just,
not known for being quiet.
We don't shut up. well, fuck, bro. Damn. Eddie, it's been a pleasure having you on here, bro.
I'm honored to
Well,
be
Eddie,
here.
We
Thank
have
you.
A few more minutes.
Yeah,
if
we do.
You wanna,
so,
you've already dropped a lot of knowledge on us, but is there any additional advice that you maybe want to give our listeners today?
Yes. And again, I learned that from my father. My father is his advice has always been spectacular in my life and made such a huge impact. So my advice is always, if you're going to the world of what I do in any way, shape or form, how are you different? Make a way to distinguish yourself, whatever that is, whether mine was doing duck lips and creating a narrative based on my personality. But my joke, like Miami had that thing with all the umbrellas that came out of Coral Gables.
Yeah.
And I laughed because I said to myself, and I made fun of it on Instagram, and I go, this is me getting ready to see everybody in Miami posting the exact same picture.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
How are you going to make yours different? So I invite you to be courageous and make yourself different and stick out in some way, shape, or form, whatever that is. That's what I always try to do in that sense. That's the way you're going to get noticed and work, if that's what you want to do in this world of social media.
Definitely. It's gems, bro. This guy's jumping. Gems. Oh, dang.
Be an innovator, bro.
Are there any shout-outs that you want to give before you go?
Well, I already gave love to my people here.
Any other shout-outs? Anyone that might listen, especially, you know, our audience is growing in the Latino population.
Oh, man, but I'm so happy to see, like, educated Latin people doing stuff like this. Because you never know, the one person that listens that it makes an impact. You know, I remember, like, I was talking about Pepe Vieta. I was on Pepe Vieta's show one time, and I had a gentleman who listened and had cancer. And he had written to me, and it made such an impact on me that he listened to the show, and he was just inspired as far as, because my mom had cancer. My mom died from cancer. But as far as, like, picking yourself up after you lose a parent and building up on your life. So it's, like, it's those moments like that you just never know how just smiling at somebody on the street is going to impact somebody's life.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Man, shout out to Pepe Villete. What
absolutely
the fuck?
That's my dog.
Shit.
Pepe Villete is my dog. That's my ride or die, bro. I love him.
Where can we find you? Where can we find Dinner Takes All? Well,
you can find Pepe Villete at. Yeah. I'm kidding.
I am across the board on social media on at the Yum Yum Foodie. Across the board. And man, guys, write to me. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. If there's places to check out, that's how I learn. So one thing is, you don't know everything. There's
fact.
So many things you don't know. You don't know.
Who would have thought?
So I didn't know.
The French strawberry,
La Fresa Francesa, and Arietta Coconut Grove. Don't be bashful. Head down there, bro.
I'm gonna be bold and be like, yo,
and
you remember me,
bank.
Bro?
They won't break the bank. That's another thing that's like beautiful.
I'm gonna tell Carlos, bro. You don't remember me? We did that thing that time.
Well, Eddie, it's been a true pleasure having you at the station with us. You're welcome anytime. We wish you the best with everything that you are working on, and we'll definitely stay tuned and check you out.
I'm saying this has been a great show. Thank you for coming, Eddie. I appreciate you coming out, man.
You guys are fam, dude.
Hell yeah. Anytime you have something crazy coming up, food and wine comes up, come through. Bring some chefs.
Absolutely.
Make sure they bring some food.
To quote me, call the crib, same number, different hood.
Different hood, but it's all good. You still got that 305, so.
Oh, yeah. But for the most part, thank you very much, man. I really do appreciate you taking the time out, especially in your busy schedule here in the city. You're just a kid from Miami, bro.
Absolutely, bro.
That's what it
always.
Is. All day.
Always.
305 all day, 365, bro.
I love it.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, like, Drea loves exclusives. This is an exclusive. So be happy. Be happy.
I'm
it is
super
an exclusive
happy.
As is. You know? Pero for those
exclusive.
Of you listening.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. So for those of you listening, I just want to say thank you for Eddie, the Yum Yum Foodie, for coming out today. Drea Brownie 305 underscore 305 on the gram. You can find
me. You got
me.
It wrong, but it's okay.
What is it? At Brownie underscore 305.
No, but it's okay, George. Go ahead and let them know where they can find you.
Correct me, woman.
This is your girl, Trey Mob, and you can catch me on the gram at 305 underscore Brownie.
Oh, my bad.
And you can check us out here on Miami Underground Radio every Monday night, 8 p.m. live.
That smooth voice.
And you can find us. Where can they find us, George?
They can find us at 305 Radio or at 305 Magazine. Well, you can find at 305 Magazine everywhere, at 305 Radio everywhere. But hit us up on the DMs on IG. If you have any questions, you want to be part of the show. We're going to start doing this. I want to start including people in the show somehow, some way. So we're going to figure that out. Twitter, here we come. And man, after hearing Eddie drop all these gems, I'll be on Twitter more often. So yeah, listen up. We'll be on there.
We're going to take you guys
anything
into
else
a
you
quick
talk
music.
About? Wait.
Wait.
You don't rap, do you?
No.
Definitely not.
I can regurgitate.
No, so shout out to DVD. DVD for life.
DVD
I want to say.
Talking about
much.
That, tonight is Monday night. We got Tape Flight at Mondays at G5. So feel free to come on by. They got dope bottle specials all night.
Dope bottles, dope chicks.
Dope everything.
It's G5, bro.
We're actually going to take you guys into a quick music break. We're going to be switching off to our house coming up next with Scrappy. And we also have Eddie Nice, who's so nice, coming back into the station with us. Thank you so much for tuning in, beautiful people all over the world. Until next Monday, we're signing off.
Till next time. Hasta la pasta.